I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Just ahead, a new documentary about one of America's most famous but little understood religions, the Jehovah's Witnesses. But first, a newsmaker interview on the battle over funding the Iraq War. The White House and the Congress have been wrangling over war spending for 100 days now. The coming week is critical as both sides say they want an agreement by Memorial Day. Here to talk about this, House Majority Whip James Clyburn from the Rayburn House Office Building. Congressman Clyburn, welcome.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
What are the Democrats trying to accomplish with the Iraq bill?
Well, we're trying to get people to see that this is an emergency supplemental. Now, the president made his request for Iraq supplementals, but the House, realizing that we got left with a lot of things on the table after the last appropriation season. And, of course, we did not treat the people of the Gulf Coast as we should have treated them. And so we're looking at a lot of things in the supplemental to try and correct or try and do what was not done last year. For instance, in addition to around $6.9 billion for Katrina, there is the SCHIP program. There are eight states that are currently out of the Children's Health Insurance Program money, and there are another three states that will be out by September 1. And so we're dealing with that in this supplemental as well. And so we would like very much to do what the president wants done as it relates to Iraq. But we also think that we have to look at the domestic emergencies that we have in our country, much of which have been brought on by the inaction of the 109th Congress.
Well, the Democrats initially tied the funding to firm withdrawal dates. You took that out. As I understand it, you had emergency domestic spending included in the original bill, as you discussed, some help for victims of Katrina, among other things. You took that out. Was it worth it to relent on those issues when you still don't have a deal with the White House?
Well, not to me. I feel very strongly that the Katrina funding ought to stay in this bill. I fought very hard to get it in there. And I'm still going to fight to try and keep as much of it in there as I possibly can. Because, look, if you look at the people on the Gulf Coast who have been literally sort of devastated by Katrina and Rita, we must not forget Rita as well, a lot of these are people who are whose family members are over in Iraq, in Afghanistan, and here are they back home trying to make something out of their lives while their family members are over waiting on the Iraqi supplemental funds. But they ought to be getting the supplemental or the emergency funds that they need here at home. And so if you look at it in, even in the broader context, I can't understand how the president can be so callous toward the families of the people who are over there fighting to secure this nation.
On the other hand, the Defense Secretary, Robert Gates, as well as the White House, said the delay in funding puts the troops at risk, and it puts them at greater risk with every passing day. How do you respond to that?
I'll say, who is causing the delay? We have passed this bill twice. The president refused to join the conference the first time that we passed it. He has now come into the conference and continuing to hold out against funding for domestic needs and emergencies. So who is holding it up? We aren't holding up anything. We've passed it twice.
How are your constituents responding to this debate so far?
I have met with nothing but support for the position that we're taking. Because, as I said, I represent South Carolina. And the fact of the matter is, Hugo visited our state back in 1989. And it visited Charleston, where we have a big military presence. These people look at what happened with Katrina and Rita, and they see themselves in that position. In fact, they experienced some of that during Hugo. These people know that if their family members were off in Iraq and Afghanistan trying to protect this country, and they were hit by a hurricane down in Charleston and at Fort Jackson, they would want to be taken care of themselves. And so they understand exactly what we're doing, and they support what we're doing.
Did you think you were close to a deal?
I thought so. I thought that when we took the timelines out that we would probably battle over the so-called benchmarks. But I thought even with the benchmarks, putting in the waiver for the president to exercise any time he could justify the exercise thereof, that he would assign the rest of this bill. And I was absolutely surprised that the president has continued to treat the people of the Gulf Coast the way they've treated them. Let me tell you, Michelle, if you were to look at one of the things we passed in the supplemental is a waiver of the Stafford Act requirements. That's the matching funds that are required from local jurisdictions in order to get federal funds for disaster aid like this. We waived the Stafford Act requirements in New York after 9/11. We waived it for Andrews down in 1992 down in Florida. We waived it for Nika out in Hawaii. We waived it for the earthquake victims in California. But yet, this administration is refusing to waive the Stafford Act matching requirements as it relates to Katrina and Rita. You got to ask yourself, why?
Why do you think that is?
I do believe it is because there are forces at work who would like very much to allow this disaster to clean up, so to speak, various issues that have been on people's minds, to really reallocate holdings on the West Coast and to do things that I thought that we were far, far beyond.
But what do you say to those who argue that these really are separate issues, that you know the war has to be funded and pursued on its own terms and these domestic issues have to be pursued on their own terms, and by conflating the two, you're delaying the process of resolving either one? What do you say to that?
I would say to them that I just don't buy that. I do believe that we ought to be securing the family members, the children, the spouses, the parents of people who are off harm's way, fighting to secure this country. We ought to be doing what is necessary to make life better for their children and their family members here at home. And the people who believe that we are paying much more attention to Iraqi children than we are our own American children, I think that they have got a point.
The war has already gone on longer than the U.S. involvement in World War II. Is it time to start funding the war as part of the regular operations of the government?
Well, that's one of the things I would say to the president. If he feels like he says he feels about this war, why don't he bring it up in as a part of regular order, funded budget for this, and fund it online like he is with everything else? I think that certainly it's time for us to come to grips with the fact that this is a war that is going to be with us for a long, long time.
What are the Democrats going to do now? Are they going to produce their own, another version of their own Iraq supplemental in the absence of an agreement with the White House on the last two bills that you sent forward?
I think that we have to make a collective decision. As you know, I try to tell people all the time, I would hope they would really keep in mind that the Democratic caucus, we have a caucus, the Republicans call their members a conference. We have 233 Democrats in our caucus. We have seven distinct caucuses within that 233. There are 42 African Americans. There are zero African Americans in the Republican caucus. Now, when we start trying to pull together legislation, we have to take into account the diversity that exists in our caucus, 21 Hispanics. We've got 9 Asian Pacific Islanders. We've got 36 or 38 new Democrats in our caucus. We got 44 blue dogs, the very conservative Democrats in our caucus. And then we have a group of progressives. These are the people who call themselves the Out of Iraq Caucus. We have 7 distinct caucuses that we have to deal with. And so I never try to get out in front of either one of them because we only have a 15-vote margin, and I want to make sure that everybody buy into what it is that we're trying to do. Hopefully, we'll come out with a collective decision.
Do you think it's realistic to expect that the funding decisions on the Iraq supplemental will be concluded by the Memorial Day recess?
I think so. I don't think we're going to leave here until we do it. The only thing I'm fearful of is that all we need to do is lose 15 votes on our side, and we would have a problem.
I wanted to ask you about the other big issue before the public today, which is immigration. The Senate is debating the bill today, and I'd like to ask how supportive you think your members are of the Senate-crafted bill.
Well, we have a group that I call senior whips. These are people who are not necessarily vote counters, but I consult with them weekly, sometimes twice a week, to really discuss issues, and we have had 3 meetings on immigration. We are pretty much in our caucus lined up with the so-called STRIVE Act, That is a bill that has been championed by Luis Gutierrez. It's being supported by the Congressional Hispanic Caucus. Zoe Loughran and Javier Becerra have been working with Luis on this issue. We have Joe Crowley from up in New York. We have a very good, diverse group of people working on this immigration issue, and we feel very good about where we are on our side. The problem is what comes over to us from the Senate could very well cause some problems. So we are going to wait and see exactly what it is the Senate will conclude on, and then we'll take it up. So I would hate to react to what the committee decided upon and start talking about the bill, not knowing what the final product will be. So when the Senate finishes all of its work, we'll take a look at what they've done. We'll line it up beside the STRIVE Act that we've been working with on this side, which is a bipartisan bill, and see then where we should go.
How optimistic are you that immigration reform in some form will be enacted this year?
I'm pretty optimistic, but I wouldn't, I'm a pretty optimistic person, and so I've got a feel that we are going to do immigration before we go home for August 1st break, and I certainly feel that we're going to do the emergency supplement before we go home for the Memorial Day break. But South Carolina's motto is, while I breathe, I hope, and I'm a real South Carolinian.
Yes, sir. House Majority Whip James Clyburn, Democrat of South Carolina, he joined us from the Rayburn House Office Building. Thank you so much for taking the time.
And thank you for having me.
We extended an invitation to Mr. Clyburn's Republican counterpart, Minority Whip Roy Blunt, and we hope to speak to him this week.